fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath, church family. I feel like we already had the sermon. What a wonderful song and what a blessing. Thank you so much, Heidi, and each and every one of you for that song. You feel as if you're getting closer to heaven when you hear music like that. What a couple months it has been for us in 2026. We've lost almost five people. We've also had many people that have been sick, some sick for almost 2 months straight. But in the midst of all these things, God has been good, right? And it reminds us why church is important, because when we come to this place, we know that this is not our home. And that when we come to church, we know that there is a hope beyond death or whatever comes our way, that in Jesus' name, there's a better future to come. And this world will pass away, but the world to come, it will last for eternity. And when we come to church, we are declaring that we belong to that eternity with Jesus. We are declaring that whatever happens in this earth, that with Jesus, we still have hope. Amen? Let's remember all of our families, several families, still mourning the loss and all these things. But one day, what a beautiful day that will be when death itself will be buried. I count it such a high privilege to be with you here today as we dive into the Word of God. We've been going on a journey through the heroes of faith. And does anybody remember who was the first character that we studied? Anybody remember this man walked with God? Very good. You get an A plus. Now, the character that we're going to talk about today, and I don't like to use the word character as much as individual, because these were real people just like you and I. This one is a little bit special. All of them are special, but I carry the name of this character. And that's a little quiz for you. Moise stands for? Oh, very good. Moise is just Moses in French. That's why, for short, you just call me Pastor Mo. Moses. Moses. Let's have a word of prayer as we dive into the Word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, today, here we stand between the living and the dead. We stand in a place where God speaks through His Word and where the choices we make right now have an impact for the world to come. It is in this moment, Lord, that we invite Your Word to speak to us. And may we not harden our hearts, but follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses. Whenever we're about to speak about Moses, we have to remember some facts about Moses. Just in the Old Testament alone, Moses is mentioned more than 702 times. In the Old Testament alone, the character that is mentioned more than Moses is Jesus. After Jesus, the name Moses is found throughout the Bible. He was a man that, without a shadow of a doubt, has impacted the world. Not only the Christian tradition, but the world. 702 times. What is even interesting, though, about the life of Moses is that the best description of his life was even given in the New Testament. by the first martyr by the name of Stephen, before he was stoned, started to speak about the life of Moses. And after that discourse, after he spoke about Moses, when he was done, he had received the death sentence. Moses was so important to the identity of the remnant of those people who claim to know God. But when you think about the name of Moses, and obviously what the preacher is trying to tell you is that his life was broad, and we can't do justice to him here in the next 30 minutes or less. But I want to focus on something about Moses that I believe changed the course of his life. You see, if you had to summarize the life of Moses, you could summarize it in three events or three periods in his life. Three seasons. The first season of the 40 years of Moses is that Moses grew up thinking that he was somebody. You see, Moses wasn't born into privilege, but privilege came to him. He grew up in courts and in places where power was the theme of his daily life. He was the son of a powerful lady, adopted son, and there he was in the courts in one of the greatest nations upon the face of the earth, the Egyptian power. His name itself, a homage to Ramses, meaning drawn out of the water. Moses meant that in his future meant greatness. For 40 years of his life, Moses thought that he was a somebody. However, the next season of his life would come when Moses would strike a man. You know the story. Trying to take charge of things upon himself and to deliver his people, he decided to kill a man in the process. And for Moses, probably this was not uncommon because Moses was a general in the army of Egypt, used to warfare and all these things. And he decided, well, let's take out the life of this man. But he realized that that was not the right thing to do. He started to run away, and he ran. Where did he go, my friends? Into the wilderness. And the next 40 years of Moses' life was where Moses thought he was a nobody. The first 40 years he thought he was a somebody, but the next 40 years he thought he was a nobody. So much so that there he is found, and we find him in Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, because at this stage, Moses is 80 years old. And at 80 years old, his life is about to change. Now, I am not 80 years old. Some people might think I am 80 years old. Like my first head elder, he was a very good man. Great man. And one day I was going to church with my sister. I won't name the church, but I was going to church with my sister. And I got to tell you, she will make sure that you know she's the older sister. She's the shortest out of all of us, but we know who is the little boss. It's Mary. I went to church with Mary and, you know, introducing all these things. And the head elder came and he said, "Pastor Mo, I am so glad you brought your daughter with you." Now I thought, you know, he was trying to be kind or joking around. And he said, "I am so glad she's here. Praise the Lord, our pastor has a daughter." Now Mary looked at me. And sure enough, Mary is my older sister. So that is to say, I am not 80 years old, though some people might think that way. I'm very young. But Moses is 80. And at 80 years old, I do not know, but I can assume that at 80 years old, you don't want too much change in your life. Moses has seen life. Now he's with sheep, and there he's found in Exodus chapter 3. And you could see him there with sheep. It is a normal day. Normal day. He's not hearing the voices of people. He's used to hearing the voices of animals going ba, ba, ba. And there is Moses. It's a normal day. Everything is fine. He has settled that this is his life. Until verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." By the way, he did not own his own flock. "The priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Now, when we read that, we might say, well, wow, that's regular. But notice what mountain is he found in, my friends? The Mount of, you don't have to be shy. You could speak back to the preacher. The Mount of, the mountain of God, Horeb. The other name for it, my friends, and let's not lose this, is Mount Sinai. Now, this mountain to Moses is going to become more significant to him than he knows, because it's on that mountain that God will give him the Ten Commandments. But at this point in his journey, Moses is not aware. He goes to the Mount of God. He has sheep with him. It is a normal day. He's on the Mount of God in Mount Sinai, and extra credit for all of you because you came to church. And those of you as well watching online, Mount Sinai stood between the fertile plains and the wilderness. It stood there, the Mount of God, between, so to speak, life and death. There was the mountain. And as he's there on that mountain, everything is fine. And all of a sudden in verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a what, my friends? Of a bush." Now notice who, which part of the Godhead this is, my friends. Angel of the? The angel of the Lord. Who is this? Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. The commander, this is not saying that Jesus is an angel, but he is the chief angel in the sense that he commands the armies of God. So who is appearing to Moses? Jesus himself. Moses is there, and he says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked," and I love how the Bible says it, "and behold, the bush was burning with fire." Now, bushes used to burn in that place, but he notices something about this bush. "But as it's burning, the bush is not consumed." Remember the first season of the 40 years of Moses, he thought he was a somebody. Now he's thinking he's a nobody. And a nobody is looking at a bush that is burning but that is not consumed. And all of a sudden, as he's trying to figure out what in the world is going on, verse 3 says, "Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this," what, my friends? "Great sight." Have you ever seen something you weren't expecting to see? A big surprise. I could imagine that at this point, Moses is wondering, what in the world is happening? Maybe at 80 years old, he's questioning, am I okay in my mind? He decides, well, he's going to turn and see what is going on. And as he turns and sees what is going on, Jesus notices what Moses is doing. It says, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said," what, my friends? "Moses, Moses." Now, seeing a bush that's already burning, I do not like fire. If fire is burning close to us, what are we going to do? especially in the church. If this pulpit is on fire, I'm not going to be hanging around the pulpit. I will be with you, my friends. But especially if this pulpit is burning and it's not consumed, that will be strange. And as all these things are happening, all of a sudden, as Moses is looking at this, he hears his name. Not once, but twice. Moses. Moses. Stay with me, my friends. We're going on a journey here. Just stay with me. And as he hears this voice from the bush, what does Moses say? He said, "Here I am." These three words would change the entire course of Moses. Remember, for the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was a somebody. The next 40 years of his life, he thought he was a nobody. But when God calls him, Moses will learn what a nobody can do when God is in charge of their life. All that Moses could do was say, "Here I am." I want to hold on to this, my friends, because what changes our lives today is the call of God. There are five things we can know about this call of God, five things that we want to explore. The number one thing, my friends, that I want us to notice about the call of God upon the life of Moses is that age is not a limit to responding to God's call in your life. Now, Moses is 80 years old, but I got to tell you, my friends, if you're 3 years old, do we have anybody here that's 3 years old? Anybody four? Where did all the kids go? Liam, I know you're five. We have another five-year-old there. It does not matter. Hey, my brother over there as well. It does not matter what age you are. When God calls you, He calls you. Number two, when God calls, the calling is the equipping. You see, the experiences of Moses, for 40 years, Moses probably thought that his life was somewhat useless. He does not own his own sheep. It is the sheep of his father-in-law. He's a foreigner in a foreign land. And day in and day out, now I got to tell you, I don't know how many of you, maybe most of you have been around sheep. But I can tell you that sheep are very interesting animals. My grandmother used to own some sheep, and sheep, sometimes they're not the brightest. For fun, sometimes they will knock each other's heads. Sometimes they will decide that it's best to run nowhere. Or they will decide, well, you know, whatever is around them, they have a mind of their own. And for 40 years, Moses is not with people, he's with sheep. But he did not know that the people that he will lead out of the promised land will be a little bit like sheep. He did not know as well that all of these experiences going around in the wilderness, back and forth and into the Mount of Horeb, he did not know that in that mountain he will receive the Ten Commandments of God and guide the children of Israel. By the way, after the Mount Sinai, the children of Israel have to wade their way through the wilderness. And guess who knew the wilderness? Moses did. I am here to tell you, my friends, that some of the darkest experiences in your life can be used by God as your biggest blessings. Some of the things that you said, "Why do I have to do this day in and day out? What is God doing with my life?" Oftentimes we think that our life purpose is some grandiose thing that we're going to do when we reach a point in our lives. But it might be that the equipping of God is that daily task we have to do every day for the greater work. Moses, for 40 years, he had the same task and he did the same task, but God was preparing him to lead, guess how many people in the wilderness, my friends? 2 million people in the wilderness. Now, I know we're going to go a little bit deep. I know some people say, no, there is no way that there were 2 million people going through the wilderness. That is impossible. Now, I will tell you why it's possible. Guess what? What was the length of a Sabbath day's journey? You're looking at me like, what did Pastor Mo just ask? In the Bible, a Sabbath day's journey was about 2 miles. Now, 2 miles of tents and all these things, going from either direction, it was a huge encampment of 2 million plus people. Moses is tasked to lead these people. Now, you and I, we might not be tasked to lead 2 million people in the wilderness. At least if God puts that call in my life, that will be a burden. It'll be a privilege, but it'll be a burden. But God has called you and I for sure to at least lead one person to Christ. And you might say, well, I am not ready for that task. But remember, my friends, the calling is the what? Is the equipping. When God places a call on your life, He has already prepared you by God's grace for the task. God can use the hardest chapters of your life and my life in reaching others for Jesus. Number three, when God calls Moses, there's something that we must learn about God when He calls, something that is often very hard for us to do, but sometimes we have to go into the wilderness to learn our identity in Christ. You might say, well, Pastor Mo, what does that mean? Sometimes we have to go through challenges, through a crisis, to understand our identity in Jesus. Moses was not made in the courts of Pharaoh. He was not forged completely in that court. Moses, in order to become the Moses we know, he had to go where, my friends? In the wilderness. Now, I got to tell you this, my friends. Some of us here today might feel as if we're in a wilderness. Maybe we had some sort of position or life made a lot of sense at one part in our journey or experience. And all of a sudden now we are wondering, God, what are you doing with my life? That is your wilderness. That is my wilderness. Paul himself had to go to the wilderness as well. But when you're in the wilderness and you're questioning, does God have a purpose for my life? There's one thing about being in the wilderness. Do not let go of your guide, Jesus. Because it's in the wilderness of our experiences that we learn that Jesus is not limited by anything in this world that we face. That whatever crisis I have placed myself, if I put Jesus first, He can take me out of the wilderness. I don't know about you, my friends, but we will have sometimes in our life questions and a crisis of identity. Maybe you grew up in church and everything made sense. You had teachers telling you what to do. Everything was clear, but now you've gone into the world and you don't know what to do or who to be. Or what choices or careers to choose. You're wondering and you feel as if you're in the wilderness. Remember, even in the wilderness, God is still there. Amen? And if you stay close to Jesus and never let go of Jesus, He is building you for something greater in your life. So do not forsake the wilderness. because it's in the wilderness that God showed Moses that he can provide for him in a desert. Is Moses still alive at the end of 40 years? Amen. And here is Moses in the wilderness. He realizes when God calls him, it is time. And what does he say, my friends? He says, when God said, Moses, Moses, what was his response? Here I am. Now, here's something about God's call in our life, my friends. Sometimes we might not understand fully what God is calling us to do. Moses did not fully understand everything he was going to go through. He did not know that there would be plagues and all these things. He did not know what kind of adventure he was going on. But what he knew is that if he was willing, God would take him through. His answer was not, here I know. His answer was not, Lord, I'm confident. His answer was not, Lord, I have a lot of experience. All that his answer was is, Lord, here I am. Here I am. The last two things before we land our plane, my friends, about the call of God. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3, my friends, and verse 4. Now, we got to understand that Moses knew the promises of the Bible that God's children would be delivered. At one point, he took charge into his own hands. But for this longest time, we can rest assured that probably Moses had not heard the audible voice of Jesus for a while. But here he is in verse 4, and what is the first two words that Jesus says to Moses? No trick question. You could read it in verse 4. What is it? My friends, you're very shy. I hope I have not given you sermonic anesthesia today. What are the first two words he says to Moses? Moses, Moses. God's call is personal. He knows you by name. The first thing that Jesus didn't tell to Moses, the part will come where he says, Moses, you're on holy ground, take off your sandals. The part will come where God will tell Moses, if you don't do this, Moses, and circumcise your children and all these things, you might lose your life. All those things will come, but the first things he wants to let Moses know is that he knows him by what, my friends? By name. Moses. Moses. God's call, my friends, is personal. He knows you and me. And when he calls us, he knows why he is calling us. Because this leads me to my fifth point here as we study the call. When God calls us, it is not merely to go and seek and save the lost, but in the process of the calling, he's trying to save you and me. If Moses was to say, no, I am not a prophet, but he probably wouldn't be the Moses that we know. If at any point in his journey, Moses said, I'm done with this, I'm giving my life too much for people and all these things, things would not have been the way they are. Because I believe that Moses knew that this call was not only to save the children of Israel, but it was to save him as well. You see, Moses was a stubborn man. He had killed a man. He had a temper. He had gone through, he was a person just like you and I. He had ambition. He had goals. He had things that he wanted to do. He had a brilliant mind, and he had ambitions and all these things, but he knew that the way of salvation was to respond to the call of God in his life. And when he said, Lord, when God said, Moses, Moses, what did he say again, my friends? Here I am. And I got to tell you, my friends, that when God calls us, it is not only to serve and to seek and save the lost, it is to save you and I. Now, Lansing family, as I close here, my friends, we need to have a family moment. Over the course, I've been your pastor now, praise the Lord, for about a year plus. And without a shadow of a doubt, we could say for about a year we've been healing from different things. As a leadership team, we have gone on a journey of discovering what is God's call upon this church, God's call upon our lives, and we came up with a vision to be one in loving service so that all may know Him, Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, we believe that God has called us to be of service, to be in a mission for Him so that others can see Christ in us. It is not what we say. It is not the banners that we have. We are the sermon in the Lansing Church, of which people will judge whether they are with Christ or not. So we said, to be one in loving service so that all may know Him. Out of that vision, as a leadership team, we have started to realize that God has called us to emphasize on 5 different areas. These areas of focus come out of the Great Commission. God did not give us a great option. He gave us a great what? Commission. Now, before you go into the word mission, co-mission, meaning we work together on the mission. And God gave us the commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and all these things. But that the core of the mission that God has called upon us is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. As we've gone through this process of healing, we have discovered that it's time to move, and our focus has to be on making disciples for Jesus. You might say, well, Pastor Mo, how does that look like? There are 5 areas that we need to be trained to fulfill God's call in. Area number 1, we need to learn how to win souls. Amen? The world is dying out there. They're waiting for hope, and we have a lot of bread. We got to give them the bread of God's word. We are going to be training for soul winning. The number 2 area as well that we see God calling upon us is the area of education. Educating this generation to be ready for the coming of Jesus. That involves our school, our families. Christian education is a foundation of our mission. It doesn't have to be in a building. It could be in the family worship. Whatever it is, we have to train our generation to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. So as a church, we are committing ourselves to Christian education. Area number 3, we also have to train ourselves in medical missionary work. Now you might say, Pastor, that is a loaded word. Medical missionary work is the gospel in practice. It is learning how to alleviate pain and suffering in a dying world. It is learning not only how to preach the gospel, but to heal. And God has called us to learn how to be a blessing to everybody that we come in contact with. So we want to focus on medical missionary work. Number 4, can anybody guess what number 4 is? The area of focus. Oh, you're quiet. Please don't forget this. You will hear this time and time again. So it's okay if this is the first time. Number 4, we want to learn how to do practical things. Practical people. We want to learn how to be good citizens. We want to learn how to be a blessing in practical areas of our life, because church sometimes can be so theoretical that we wonder, how does this apply to my life? I'm a computer guy. How does this apply to my life? I'm a janitor. How does this apply to my life? We want to make church practical. We want to have ministries in church that teach us how to use our daily call to answer to the Master's call. And lastly, we want to focus, as we said, on discipleship. There's no reason why a person that comes to the Lansing Church should not feel more equipped and empowered to be in God's service. Whenever we come to this church, we want you to leave this place saying, I feel more equipped to answer God's call in my life. I'm gaining the tools, the resources, the support to be an effective soul winner in the world. When I go to the Lansing Church, I leave that place more excited about God's call on my life. And I can leave this place knowing that I have the tools to win souls for Jesus Christ. My friends, you don't have to go to seminary to answer the call of God. You don't have to have all these other things, all that you have to do like Moses when God says, John, John, what are we to respond? Here I am. When he says, Mary, Mary, all that we have to say is Mary has to say, here I'm what, my friends? Here I am. And the Bible tells us, as we land our plane, Lansing, just like the burning bush, God is saying, Lansing, Lansing, what will we say? Here we are. Here we are. And when we answer the call, when we answer the call, we will go to the promised land. Because the call is our pathway to our salvation. So my appeal to you and I today, it's a personal appeal. You know, God is calling you by name. You might say, well, Pastor Mo, I don't know what God is calling me to specifically. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, God knows what he's calling you to. And if you go to the Holy Spirit and say, God, show me what my calling in life is and what can I do to be a blessing in your work, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, he will make it clear in your life. But we must ask, and God will show us. Are we willing today to say, Jesus, here I am? If we are, I'll invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, like Moses, we have gone through experiences in our life. For some of us, maybe at this point in our life, we are thinking that we are somebody. For others, maybe, Lord, we're thinking we are nobodies. But today, as a Lansing church, whatever stage we're at, we want to do things God's way. And we want to answer the call. Because if we answer the call, salvation is guaranteed. Today, Lord, you know what you're calling us specifically to. For some of us, we have jobs where we interact with people that don't know you. For some of us, Lord, we interact with your people. Whatever area or sphere of influence you have placed us upon, like Moses, may we be willing to say, here we are, Lord. What will you have us do? As we finish our time together, Lord, we pray that we would be faithful and respond with joy in our hearts because our Master has called us to his work. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.